Morning. So in our short time this morning, I'd like to tell you a little bit about our monitoring activities in the United States and also provide a brief background on some of the challenges that are encountered. So to start, I think it's important to just summarize why is monitoring vaccine impact important for both HPV vaccine, but really any vaccine. And these are some of the reasons. Certainly, we could think of many more. For one, measuring vaccine impact provides really important information to policymakers and stakeholders to show the vaccine is useful and effective. And I think that's even more important in the setting where there's an expensive vaccine and vaccine that requires more than one visit. In addition, measuring vaccine impact may support the sustainability of a vaccine program by feeding back in important resources, both personnel and infrastructure. I think also it can provide some real-world vaccine effectiveness at local and regional levels. And also, it may answer some important questions on implementation and effectiveness. And some of the questions that have come up around HPV vaccine include cross-protection, questions about HPV type replacement, and also questions around effectiveness in special populations. So just to provide maybe a little structure for what's really needed for measuring vaccine impact, well, certainly vaccine use and vaccine use in appropriate populations and a way to measure vaccine use is necessary. Also, surveillance data, and it's not just any surveillance data, but consistent surveillance data that's a stable system and sustainable. And that comes into play, especially when we're talking about measuring vaccine impact on long-term outcomes. Also, obviously, dedicated resources, both personnel and infrastructure. And also, for some outcomes, laboratory capacity is important, including expertise at the laboratory level, maybe a regional or local lab that can conduct surveillance and consistent methods. And just to focus now a little bit on HPV vaccine, you heard earlier about what HPV vaccine may impact, and certainly these are the HPV-associated diseases and cancers in males and females that we might appreciate impact of the vaccine on. Those outcomes include genital warts and recurrent respiratory papillomatosis, and specifically these are caused by HPV 6 and 11 primarily. Also cervical, vaginal, vulvar cancers, anal and penile cancers, and oral pharyngeal and oral cavity cancers. So the two available vaccines might actually impact these outcomes differently. Both vaccines may impact type-specific HPV infection and also cervical cancers, and some of these other cancers that I provided an overview on earlier. Quadrivalent vaccine may also have impact on genital warts and recurrent respiratory papillomatosis by prevention of HPV type 6 and 11 related outcomes. So these are some of the challenges encountered for measuring vaccine impact, specifically HPV vaccine impact. For one, many of the outcomes take a long time to develop from initial infection. And as many of you know, initial infection usually occurs around the time of sexual debut. And then the resultant disease or cancer that can result from infection may be years to decades later. Certainly, there are substantial systems requirements for monitoring disease outcomes, and these outcomes are not necessarily reportable, save for some of the cancers through the available registries. Also, for HPV infection, measuring impact on HPV infection, this requires special studies. Also, when I was talking about the various outcomes, many of these outcomes are dependent on cervical cancer screening. And for those of you who know this world, it's a rapidly evolving field with new methods to screen, which might change over time. And also, the screen population is difficult to ascertain as there's no registries, pap screening or colposcopy registries. And certainly laboratory outcomes are somewhat challenging as well. They require standardized methods and possibly a reference center. And these may be expensive methods, and it may not be feasible in all settings. So this is just to highlight the issue that I brought up about the time from infection to disease outcomes. This schematic illustrates the time from infection to development of cervical cancer specifically. Initial infection occurs after sexual debut for the most part, and within a few years, persistent infection can develop and lead to cervical dysplasias, such as CIN, cervical intraepithelial neoplasias. And then persistent infection then over many years can lead to cervical precancers, cervical intraepithelial neoplasias 2 and 3, which is considered a precancer. And decades later, cancer can develop. So this slide again illustrates that point of the time frame for measuring impact. And this is a model of vaccine impact on HPV 16-18 related CIN2-3 incidence in females. And as you can see, on the x-axis is time in years, and on the y-axis is incidence of these outcomes per 100,000 women. And you can see that it's decades before impact on these cervical precancers can be appreciated. Just to give you a flavor for the many activities that are being done in the U.S. for surveillance, and on this slide, I actually also describe what's being conducted around vaccine coverage, safety, and behavior. But my focus will be on monitoring impact on infection and disease in the U.S. And specifically, the focus has been on outcomes of type-specific HPV prevalence, HPV types in cervical specimens, CIN2-3, the cervical precancer lesions, HPV-associated cancers, and genital warts. So just to focus on these specific outcomes, I'm just going to give you a brief overview. I will refer you to a document we have that goes into great detail about these specific projects. But for type-specific HPV prevalence, we're looking at this through a national survey called the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. We're also looking at this through a special study looking at Pap specimens collected during cervical cancer screening. For genital warts, we have a network of STD clinics which will be able to collect information on genital warts over time and measure vaccine impact. And also, we're looking at genital warts in administrative data sets. For cervical precancers, there are new sentinel projects measuring cervical precancers and also collecting specimens and conducting HPV typing. And administrative data is also useful for that outcome as well. And finally, HPV-associated cancers, we're fortunate to have registries in the United States that will provide important information on cancers, HPV-related cancers specifically. And in some sites, special sites, they're also doing HPV typing of those cancers. And now just to focus on some of the methods for monitoring impact of HPV vaccination. As I illustrated before, registries are coming into play, the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. We've been utilizing existing surveillance infrastructures for some of our monitoring projects, including EIP and VSD, for looking at specific HPV outcomes of interest. We're also looking at special populations specifically. We're working with our colleagues in Arctic Investigations Program to look at impact on Alaska Native women. And finally, as I talked to earlier about the administrative data, we're using that for numerous outcomes. And this website below here, it will provide an overview with more details on those projects. I wanted to bring up one specific monitoring project as an example of some of the challenges that are encountered. This project is an HPV impact monitoring project for cervical precancer, and it's a population-based evaluation looking at cervical precancers and conducting active and laboratory-based surveillance. The HPV types will be evaluated that are associated with lesions, and then HPV vaccination status will be determined. So even before we've actually established the methods to to understand vaccine uptake in this system, there's already some challenges with CIN surveillance, and this is just some of the challenges. But certainly, case reporting is the challenge because reporting is occurring through pathology laboratories, which is a somewhat new stakeholder for vaccine-preventable disease reporting. In addition, case ascertainment has been challenging. There's inter-observer variability, inconsistent terminology and coding. And finally, this question of cervical cancer screening is very important and relevant to cervical precancers. And ascertaining who's been screened in the population of interest is very challenging. But I wanted to leave you on a positive note about why impact monitoring is so important and an example of what has been seen in another country. And this is an example from genital wart surveillance in Australia. This is an ecological evaluation of genital warts in STD clinics. Australia, just as a background, distributed the quadrivalent vaccine in April of 2007 to girls in school, and then expanded coverage to young women less than 27 years of age outside of the school-based program. They've been able to attain very high HPV vaccine coverage. And what they have found is that the proportion of women under 28 years with warts, genital warts specifically, has decreased by 25%. And they also have found a small impact in heterosexual men that might be thought to be due to herd immunity. And this information has been very useful for policymakers in Australia, both for supporting implementation, expanding implementation, but also ongoing efforts to monitor vaccine impact. So just in summary, HPV vaccine monitoring is very important and it certainly impacts policies and it will answer some very important questions, but there are numerous challenges. And for the United States, we have a broad-based plan of activities, and I would point to you that website with PDF that has more details of the activities, but the focus of the outcomes has been HPV infections, cervical precancers, and cancers in genital warts. Thank you very much.